Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We're here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about youth ministry and sports.
Yeah, I feel like we should have some sort of like a high energy opening.
That's right.
Like some Rocky theme sort of situation here. Because one of the things we hear from youth leaders across the country is that they feel more and more like youth ministry is in competition with youth sports. And we recognize it's not just youth sports, right? There's a lot of demands on families' time. And in the past, communities maybe had set aside time collectively to say like, hey, we're not going to have sports practice or games on Wednesdays or Sundays. And the days of that deference to maybe church activities. Some communities still have it, but often it's going away. And so you're now far more likely to see youth sports that, especially if they're not connected to like a Lutheran school, taking up more time in the evenings, in the weekends, and often being one of the reasons that young people can't come to youth ministry programming.
Right. We talked about, you know, and broadly, if you look out in literature around the world, that how things have changed in our country to where like maybe the church is not the centralized part of the life as much as it was 50 plus years ago. And so, and some of that was kids would have been playing sports around their church. I mean, think how many churches maybe have basketball court, fields, that type of stuff.
Bowling alleys,
exactly, here in St. Louis. And so like those activities were church related. And so it was both a sports and a ministry opportunity. And over the years, that definitely has probably split much, much more to where sports has been something that now is outside of the church. And so now it becomes this tension. So we see it like, I was just looking just online for some quick stuff. A USA Fact survey tracked participation of 6 to 17-year-olds in sports teams or having sports lessons or practices after school since 2017. The numbers obviously dipped during the pandemic, but the numbers are pretty consistent, 55 to 58% of American young people in that age group are participating in sports. So that's over half. If you think about, I mean, this isn't just high school, going down to 6-year-olds are participating in sports of some sort. And certainly that's looked different probably over the years. I love that we ask this question now on the youth poll. About kind of like, what are the things in your daily life for high school students that you're spending your time on? Interestingly, we kind of use it, Ryan Cornett, our stats guy, puts it at like, what's your top two to kind of do some comparison. And so sports was the number one answer at 47%, followed by homework at 42, and then other extracurriculars at 35. So up there too, those were your top three. But interestingly with the sports though, is 49% female and 44% male. So even a high participation with females in sports. And then again, a lot of homework time, obviously, and extracurriculars. So sports are a big part of lives of young people. And certainly we see that sometimes and the tension around maybe youth ministry activity. So excited to jump into this over a couple episodes and be able to talk about it.
Yeah. So I can maybe look at it from a youth ministry perspective. We know that my sports experience did not go far past middle school. So I'm not and not the sports athlete that maybe Mark was and continues to be. You continue to coach. You have for a lot of years. So Mark, as a person who loves sports and who's coached for many years, maybe give us a little bit of what you've, how you've seen youth sports change over time.
Sure. And I want to preface this with, I was able to participate in sports because I grew up in rural Montana.
Fair.
But so yes, love sports, got into it. Like even my parents, even Marvel, I did not get it from my family. So like my parents still are always would be like, even as a kid, like, where did you get this from? My dad liked baseball. My dad introduced me to baseball, but like, I just love sports. I think oddly compared to the rest of my family, I was really competitive. I was just a competitive kid. And so sports was one of these avenues by which drew me to it. I loved it. Everything from just being a fan and loving that side of it, but then also playing too. And so it was a big part of my life, certainly growing up. So I could talk a lot about these changes, even that I've seen since I've been coaching. It could be the whole podcast. But even going back to my childhood too, and you can certainly get a lot of this research and things that are online or other resources as well. I'll just talk maybe about three themes, and I think there is a lot of overlap to them, so it's kind of hard to even split them apart. The first two that I would put together is maybe the rise of club and travel teams, even at younger ages. Is kind of something interesting to see. Now, I think we're going to talk about a little bit further in the podcast about the costs and things that go into that too, and certainly the dedication that that takes. But you see now to where even kids that are in elementary school are on teams that are traveling for weekends to go to tournaments. And so the time that takes, again, if we just think about Sunday morning activities in church, that they're gone for that. And just in general, even if they're not traveling to other cities, I know middle schoolers that are almost every weekend are going to Kansas City, Indianapolis, Chicago for tournaments, whether it's soccer, basketball, other things that are taking place. But then just also their local leagues going to be pretty time consuming at times. So I think that's one of the rises that have taken place. Now, along with that, one of the interesting things is what we might call specialization around a sport. So whereas maybe when I was young, I would have played, whether it was out on the playground, whether it was with my friends in the backyard. I'll talk a little bit more here about organization here, but I would play football during the football season. I'd play basketball during basketball season. I'd play baseball during baseball season. I would even pick up a tennis racket from time to time and do stuff. I'd maybe do some track and field stuff. I would make up games around that would bring the best of all those sports together and play that with my friends. And so I had a wide variety of sports that I played and learning different skills, learning different parts, how strategies, that type of thing, where more and more we hear and you see statistically that kids are being forced at a younger age to pick a sport or maybe two sports because that's all the time they have or because they got to focus so much on they're getting individualized coaching at a young age. Right. They're playing in multiple leagues. They're going on these travel teams. And so rather than maybe a more robust and wide angle at athletics and playing both team sports and individual sports, which are very different too. They're really starting to get focused at a younger age, which means you have a specific relationship team. I mean, in terms of like those are the people you're building relationships with. It's again that time and dedication, and then sometimes maybe missing out on a sport that you really would have enjoyed because of already the focus you put at something at a young age. So that's those go hand in hand quite a bit. And then I think the other kind of interesting thing too that maybe has changed. Is just how organized sports have become. It's a big business on one side. There's a lot of money in it now. I mean, just think of what's going on in college sports right now with name, image, and likeness. So that's big money for families, but it's also big money for coaches and leagues and things that happen too. And so, you know, like I look back on my childhood again, maybe I was unique because we were kind of rural Montana where it's a little bit different where maybe the resources weren't there. But like our men's Kiwanis Club ran T-ball and Little League. So I played organized baseball starting in first grade and then had organized baseball. You know, you could play that up until you're through high school. But like I love football, but I didn't play an organized practice or a game until seventh grade was when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
So we were playing on the playground all by ourselves, figuring out watching Sunday morning games, Saturday morning games, learning the game that way, putting it out on ourselves and figuring it out. Like it was no structure. I didn't have anyone teaching me how to play football. I was learning it on my own. Basketball, same way. We did not have organized basketball till fifth grade. And my class was the first class that had an organized league in fifth grade.
Yeah.
So like it was a lot of free play, playing with my peers, not having adults involved. And I think this is, I think if we talked a little bit, I think about Anxious Generation and some other literature that's come out about, it's a bigger discussion than just sports, about just kind of free learning for kids or free play for kids that life is so structured. That's a very different for growing up now. And sports just plays into that in terms of like the specialization, the coaching, the interaction that takes place to where it was much more, kids had their own freedom, I think, to figure this out and find the things they liked. And so that's kind of been a pretty major thing and different change in sports. And that's probably over the last maybe 40 years or so, 50 years where that's happened.
Have you seen alongside that, like I think about, like you said, I didn't have structured teams until middle school, really, right, in my school. And so people could get into a sport later on.
Yes.
And now you really are selecting that sport much, much earlier.
Right. You feel like you missed the boat now.
If you don't start early. Sixth or seventh grade.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's where, it's not like my entire class played sports, but like I would think going back pretty close, probably every boy, I'll speak for the males in my class, like we all were probably, at least in middle school, were playing a sport. You found the sport you liked. And I think because they didn't feel discouraged already by that age, because we were playing it out on recess, we'd play them. Play in PE, we'd play it out on playground on our own time because it was something to do. That I think that was a different part of it to where I sometimes even wonder, like we talked about how many kids are in a specific practice. Like I would love to have stats for 40, 50 years ago, or how many kids were playing a sport on their own. I even wonder the number was higher, actually. Yeah. It just wasn't as programmed it was, your schedule was more flexible. It was more just a fun thing that I think maybe sometimes I feel like actually less kids are involved in sports because it takes so much time and energy now to do it, and the structure and the cost that's there. So it's a weird, it's a weird.
Cause you couldn't, like me, non-sports person, play like the 8 weeks of Parks and Rec volleyball.
Right.
Because that's just not an option anymore. It's too casual for most people.
Right.
All right. So in the past, or at least in this past gathering, we had some conversations with some adult leaders, really heard from them that they're struggling alongside our teens and our parents on how to navigate kind of all of the changes that have happened. And also, like, what's the real situation with youth sports right now and youth ministry and our understanding of the value of that and of programming. So for kind of for the next three podcasts, we're going to talk about how we might work together so that teens can be set up for success, both on the court and field and for eternity, right? How do we, how do we make sure we have all of those things in the right balance and in the right place? So let's start with this because, and I'm going to let Mark answer most of it because I know he's very passionate about this. What are some positive things sports does for young people?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things. And again, obviously, you're going to see overlap with other parts of life, how that goes. For me, I think back on, you know, sports was one of those things that really taught me like dedication, hard work, resiliency, how to focus on a task, how to bring something to completion, the hard work that it takes, again, to do that. And then through that, by doing things actively, having success, confidence gets built in people as well. So that's helpful. If you know me or want to know me, I am not very athletic myself. So I was not good at any individual sports. I needed good teammates around me.
There you
to play sports. So in that case, if you play team sports, you learn teamwork. And so like I learned so much about how to interact with people through sports. I mean, that was probably the avenue and the venues in so many ways, that in the church, I would say, and certainly my family, that learned to build relationships, understand personalities, like all those kind of things, how to support and care for people was through sports. And so I think about through that is how just general teamwork, how you play together on a team, how you have a focus goal, the steps you take to get there, communication skills. You know, you listen well to coaches, you listen to your teammates, you learn to communicate. I mean, that's one of the biggest things. I coach basketball. That's like a thing to like, actually, you guys got to talk, open your mouth, do these kind of things to help each other out and see the big picture of that. I think relationship skills, again, around loyalty, encouragement. I mean, again, me growing up playing on the playground, conflict management was a huge part. Is that really a foul or is it not? Are you going to call it? You know, what's the deal? How are you going to pick teams to be fair? So much of that we learned through sports and doing that as a child. I think, you know, especially for our older kids, time management. So like, how do you prioritize the other things, homework, all those other things that have to get done. And then I just love the fact too, that I think there's something to say about just the general health that comes from playing sports. That again, that can be a lot of other physical activities you can do too. But I think there's just great benefits for that. Like I'll speak, you know, certainly for myself when it comes to thinking back on like playing football, like it was good for 16-year-old Mark to have an opportunity to go play a little regulated violence at that age, blow off some steam, going through those age like that. You know, we can know what happens when maybe young men don't have opportunities to do that. And it was good for me to be able to have that and be a healthy release and outlet for me, which was beneficial certainly to my life growing up. So I think just a lot of benefits that there are for sports for the people who is a natural connection for them.
Yeah. Well, and even for those of us that are not as great, right? Especially in middle school, learning the confidence things, the teamwork things, how to listen to a coach, how to learn a new skill. You know, in the one sport I played in high school was swimming, right? And it's an individual sport. Yep. And yet it's a team sport, right? Like we're here as a team. And how do you encourage and engage with your teammates? Sometimes when they can't hear you underwater, right? I think there's so many skills and values and things that are helpful for our young people that we want to say like, hey, yeah, this is actually something that can bring a great value for your young people. There's a reason people love doing it. There's a reason people invest in it. There's a reason, even if you don't go on to be a professional, that in adolescence, this is helpful for you.
Yeah. You talk about the values and stuff too. Like I think one of the other funny things that like drove me to sports was, we talk about, we joke about this, like, I'm a rule follower. And, like, I love sports because there are rules.
And there's refs.
There's refs. There's rules. There's inbounds, out of bounds. Like, there's all that kind of stuff that it was a weird part that even that I loved about that it was like, oh, it's structure. Like, I like the structure of it. Yeah. And so, yeah, the other things that can play to, as young people are figuring out themselves and how God's crafted them.
And among all of these things that sports are good at, the one thing they lack, and I think youth ministry makes a very reasonable pushback to say that sports don't have eternal consequences, right? That when we talk about our faith, there is something about the gospel of Jesus Christ, which makes that different, or it puts it in a particular place in our lives, which is, I think, the crux of some of the frustration that, that youth leaders have. So we think, let's think about how youth ministry might help families and youth to prioritize not just worship, but faith practices and keep that in the right balance with youth ministry. And I think one of the things, one of the ways we can start with that is by making this not just a conversation about sports, because it really needs to be a congregational wide conversation about how Christians manage time and are good stewards of the gifts that God's given them. Because while the majority of kids are playing sports and it's easy for us to kind of point and say like, well, that's the problem or that's the thing that's taking their time. There are certainly other activities. There are adults who are prioritizing work or their other activities in order to that are taking over from time that should be or could be spent in spiritual practices and worship and serving the church and all of those things. I mean, we make the joke for adults that the worship can't go long on Sundays when whatever sports team is playing in a particular area. So it's not, I think it's partly we have to start with, it's a bigger conversation to be having.
And it's in a conversation that's going to hopefully, if you can lay foundational, sports might be the avenue or the topic in high school, but it's going to be an ongoing conversation for a Christian as they mature. You're always going to have these conversations around stewardship of your time. So it's good to be able to start having those conversations early about it. And like you said, don't make sports the enemy necessarily, but have a broader conversation to make it a lifelong lesson.
Yeah. And then I think it gives us, sports does give us this opportunity to talk about vocation.
Absolutely.
How we are God's hands and feet and all the things that we're doing. And what does that mean to be a Christian who is playing basketball or football or tennis or whatever the sport may be, and how God might use them in those opportunities to be able to point back to the good news of Jesus Christ. And part of that is talking with parents about making sure they feel confident as they make decisions, particularly we would argue probably around the weekends and weekend trips that we have with Travel Paul, of like, okay, are you feeling confident praying together as family, finding a church if you're in a different location, or figuring out if that's a possibility in your schedule, talking about faith while they're on the road and incorporating that conversation about vocation in with parents. I know that can be valuable both for mom and dad and for the student to be able to be thinking about these things ahead of time before the question comes so that they can feel confident saying like, this is how we're prioritizing faith, even if we're going to have to be on the road 3 weekends this month.
Yeah, I love that. I know we've talked to a practitioner who like actually put together some resources for families when they knew the busy travel time was coming up, just around like, how do you find a church? How do you do this? Here's some devotions you can do that both allowed, again, for those faith conversations to continue to happen, even in the context of a travel team around that.
Can we watch the service online? Can we make sure that we're still, you know, it's not quite the same, but it can certainly make sure that we're making those choices to prioritize our faith life.
And I appreciate too, I think we've talked about it, that, you know, making the most of even those rides in the car, like, and how do you walk through with your young person over loss, defeat, struggling with maybe playing time, these kind of things, to where like, how do you continue to point them to Jesus through those things that, again, sports is the avenue now at this age, but these are going to be a conversation they're going to have to deal with later in life too. And so how do you help them wrestle with those conflicts in their life and just kind of learning to grow up and mature?
And I love that, you know, kind of that wrestling conversation as youth leaders, to provide that listening ear and support when the parents and teens are struggling with, how do we steward our time? How do we make good decisions when it comes to balance? And if they're wrestling with the ramifications of missing a Sunday, missing youth ministry opportunities, mm-hmm. missing even sometimes confirmation or other big events, or the consequences of missing time with their team and the investment they've made there. We have to sit with them right. to right. listen to that. We have to and do that without a level of judgment. I think there's yeah. a fear that if I talk about how we might be wrestling with this, if I come to a different decision than the people in my church would or my youth leader might, then I'm going to get judged or they're going to be angry with mm-hmm. me. But to be able to say like, hey, look, we just want to help support you in that wrestling and that conversation. And we certainly are going to want to point you to be mm-hmm. to being active in your faith life. But also, how can we figure that out together?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of those balances, too, for parents to be involved, I think for the church to be thinking about it, too, especially if you have players who are very involved or students who are very involved in sports, is it's obviously sports are about performance. And how do you still make sure to point them back to the grace that is in Jesus? Oftentimes sports doesn't have a lot of grace in it.
Yeah.
And so how do you make sure if there's a huge investment there, where are they hearing that they are loved, that their identity is not wrapped up in that sport, it's in their baptism, and that they're loved. And so to help the parents to understand, you might have to be that balance with what they've got going on and the focus on the sport, if they don't get it through their coaches and other things like that, or how can the church continue to be that place to remind them of that and continue to give them that? Because again, sometimes they're not going to hear it in the process of playing sports as I.
Well, and I think maybe that ties to kind of the intro that you made about how sports has changed.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think for older youth leaders, I'll count myself in that. Mm-hmm. Right. We maybe remember playing very casually for teams, maybe in our middle school or high school. It did not feel like a particularly intense, or we definitely maybe didn't tie it as much to our identity formation, mm-hmm, right? That we right. see young people mm-hmm. really tying that to their identity formation now and into their success, even if you maybe still dreamed of playing in the
right.
NBA.
Right. I still have it.
But that was not your success on the yeah. on the basketball court was not as central to your identity mm-hmm. as I think we see for many of our young mm-hmm. people really struggling with that now. And so when today holds a different sports maybe hold a different space, that might mean that youth ministry needs to make some transitions, mm-hmm. right? So whether that's thinking about how we spend our time in programming mm-hmm. some other spaces as well. Why, Mark, do you think youth leaders, you hear youth leaders being frustrated mm-hmm. with youth sports? Where do you think some of that frustration might also come
yeah,
from?
Yeah, I think it goes back to kind of what I said before. I would love to do like a broader study on like to understand, you know, there's this kind of competition over time. And so where if sports are taking a lot of time, you know, you're investing a lot of time maybe in preparing something, a program. I think we run into it with some like an LCMS youth gathering to where like we hear right. a lot of kids can't come because that's the week of the big sports camp. So they can't
or
come
we
that
can't
week.
We can't go over 2 weeks.
We can't go over 2 weeks, right? Right. Because that's now getting into 2 weeks of camp. And so like there's a big competition about how do you help them prioritize, especially, and I think for the youth worker themselves, whether it's pastor, DCE, layperson, you invest a lot of your time that it seems maybe disrespectful or hurtful when they make other choices to do that. And again, that's not just with sports. So there's a little bit of time there just around that priority. I think, we start talking about this a little bit, like I'm around the money part is that you see the investment. You know, we hear that too when we get nervous about how much a week at the youth gathering costs. And we have some parents who are like, well, that's what I spent on a weekend at volleyball tournament or whatever, to where like it's not that big of a deal maybe, or like we should be investing this for their spiritual activity as well. But it's adds up, certainly.
I hear more and more that as we sports have changed, mm-hmm. that's really changed the amount of access that particularly yeah. people in a low socioeconomic status
right,
have.
Right.
Yeah. And we were already seeing some of that in Chicago, mm-hmm. Where I was serving before. But Project Play reported that in 2019, which was not that long ago,
right.
That the average Shamley paid about $693 a year on their child's primary sport. Wow. So they might be doing that for multiple sports, but their primary sport, that's how much they were paying on average. Between team registrations, uniforms, equipment, like you said, specialty lessons, all of that was built into there. And in 2024, that number had already grown to about just over $1,000, $1,016 on average for their primary sport. And so they're investing in that. And I think parents and even students will say, like, hey, we want to get our money's worth.
Right.
Right. And I want to be good and play well for a team that I'm putting that much investment, both of time and of cash into. Right. And so there's a lot of pressure, like you said, to be successful in those spaces or to not miss and to get the most out of that time. At the same time, youth leaders are saying, hey, we've poured a lot of time and energy into making sure that you have access to Bible studies and social fellowship time and community time and time in God's word. And when that gets ignored for other things, that can be really hard.
And I think you want to try to walk alongside, again, that we want to give young people that strong foundation in Christ, in his church, those daily practices, that we don't want it to be, oh, now they're 18, those sports times are over, maybe it's even later, and then trying to play catch up. Like, I think we're going to have that vision and trying to help parents have that too, about these priorities that, like, again, it's got to work around the other things that are taking place, but that we don't drop those things that either, and can certainly be supported in the family life as well, just because we don't want to lose that opportunity to build that foundation in a young person.
Yeah. So I'm curious, Mark, from your perspective, you've seen both sides of this. What are ways that youth leaders can support teens in their sports while not sacrificing ministry or chances to share the gospel?
Yeah. Well, I think one thing, place where to start potentially is when the time allows, I think it's an important part of ministry that where you can attend their games. So get out into the community. I know some people might be saying, like, easy to say when, like, my youth ministry encompasses 11 high schools.
That might be
a little bit. Hopefully find a game where they're playing each other. I don't know, something like that. Schedule that well. And that goes beyond sports, too. Go to their concerts. Go to their musicals. Go to their plays that they're into, to get out and do that. And help maybe spread that out. Like, find some supportive adults, maybe even some retired people who are looking for things to do and say, like, hey, how about you go watch this freshman basketball game on Thursday afternoon because Tommy's playing and you can make a connection with them. So, like, take some time to maybe schedule a time a little bit and go enjoy, get onto the community, and actually attend their games. Again, it's going to look different maybe in a suburban context versus maybe a rural where there's one school or a couple schools to get to. But I think that's an important time of building those relationships.
I think part of that is adapting our programming, right? Adapting our programming to maybe be less about large events and more about more small groups or relationship building that allows us to switch times, meet kids where they're at, that we're able to look at our schedules and avoid maybe overlap where you're going to have the most. Hey, on Friday night when everybody's going to be at the game, you're not planning something that goes up against that in terms of their schedule, or that we're trying to avoid big events being on times where the season's particularly busy. I know, you know, talk to youth leaders and you're trying to find those weeks in between seasons for your group that are able to get a little more time in, but also just being able to say, like, hey, rather than focusing in on like one or two big events a month, hey, how can I create some smaller space that kids can feel comfortable coming in and out of and still staying in relationship with people, still being in God's word with them, and not missing out on the sports part of that either, right? Mm-hmm. How do we help make sure that they have access and we're meeting them where they're at with the good news of Jesus? Because we want them to be able to do that. I also feel like it's partly our responsibility to help gain some skills there for them to feel like they are confident in reading God's word and praying on their own. So if they're not going to be able to join us for Bible study, do they have pieces of scripture that we read that they could read? Mm-hmm. Or are there devotions that you can share? Can we use social media in some ways to help encourage them to continue to those spiritual practices, even if they can't come to necessarily all of our big programming.
Right. And I think along those lines, like just in general of how do you bring in those faith practices, I think it goes back to the vocation conversation around, prayer, those daily things. Like I'm blessed. I get a coach in a Lutheran school context. So it's real easy that we end every practice with prayer. Before each game, we pray. Even, before the big game, we pray as the visiting team and we pray together if we're playing another Lutheran school. So like that becomes a normal thing. But thinking of the kid that plays in a public school setting, is, how do you put those challenges, challenge them to think about those practices in terms of, prayers before a game, like, can you write something up for them that, like, here's a, when we think, theologically about praying around something like vocation, how do we do that prayer for them and be able to build that confidence and also even theological and scriptural understanding of vocation around those things. And just for them to be able to say, too, that as they're interacting with either their opponents or their teammates, that they keep their identity in Christ at the center of what they do. And so I think there's a way you can build that up, that vocation of sport.
Yeah. Now, we have been very positive, very pro-sport so far on the podcast. So I think it begs this question of, is there a space and a time when as a youth leader we have a moment where we put in some challenge, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Where we say, hey, this youth sports thing is taking a priority that we feel like is taking a higher priority than mm-hmm. your faith life, or and we have some concerns about that mm-hmm. with young people. Mark, what are some things to think about as you're approaching maybe that part of the conversation?
So I think it's one of those things you want to think of a wide view about the spiritual life of the young person and the family relationship in there, because it. At some other point, it may not be sports you're talking about around these things that are going to bring heartache and maybe hurt, maybe anger around how maybe time priorities are coming into play in the life of a young person. So I think there's those things to have that conversation, to look out of it. Like in some ways, sports could be an idol. We're talking First Commandment pieces here and trust is being built into sports, or time with Jesus is being completely taken out because of the busyness of life. There might be other things that are going on, just worried about the health of the young person or just their behaviors and some other things that might be tied to sin. That again, you want to have those conversations because you care for the person and hopefully be able to bring the family to that conversation. So thinking of that well and broadly, that like it's not going to just be now in high school with sports. It's going to be other times in life you're going to have to wrestle with these things around priorities, and we want to help them think through that. I will say, I'll say this lightly and carefully, maybe. Maybe when it comes to other youth ministry programming stuff, you already kind of talked about it, I think, with the planning and scheduling, is to also be open to make sure it's not about your ego in some of those conversations. Again, I'm not talking the primary stuff of worship and time in God's word and that type of thing, but maybe there's some other ancillary things where there could be seasons of time where a youth maybe isn't able to attend things, and to say, still have a welcoming spirit to that. And understand there's going to be busier times, and we either work around the schedule or just be understanding to them, and that to where it's not maybe about some of the programmatic things that are getting in the way of a relationship with that young person and that family. So just to maybe again check the ego a little bit on some of those stuff, or have some person to talk through and just make sure, am I seeing this right? Am I understanding this right? And to go with that maybe with a little bit different angle around maybe some other bigger picture priority issues around their time in the church and their time with Christ.
It's the challenge part of youth ministry, that's uncomfortable sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes before we step into that conversation, we have to make sure that we're not about hurt feelings, but it is about the heart of wanting that young person to mm-hmm. be consistently in God's word and in Christian community with one another. We don't want to see that. That's always a really difficult wrestle.
Right. And I love to hear to say the good news, and this might be hard when you're in the middle of the situation, like whether it was the long-term research we did, or we've been able to talk to people, everyone can probably speak to this, about people who still maybe didn't respond when they were in high school to that. Yeah. And then here they are, young adults, and they're like,
I get it now. It may have took the Holy Spirit that time to get to me, or life circumstance change and be like, man, I'm glad I had a faithful youth worker, a pastor, DCE, that was walking me through that. And it might just take time. We know that a lot about youth ministry. Yeah. Sometimes you got to see the seed grow in the young person's heart and mind. So it's great to see.
And yeah. Unlike that sports team,
right.
We're not kicking you off the team.
Right.
There's grace. There's love. There's return to that as well.
Right.
Making sure that you are recognizing that you don't know what the conversation looks like in that home with those parents at the dinner table. You don't know how much they're wrestling.
Right.
I think from the outside, youth leaders can assume that sports is always going to win. And that can be frustrating because it always feels like it's the superior thing in their time. But you don't actually have purview to know exactly what those parents and those kids are wrestling with as they're trying to figure some of that stuff out. So before we jump in, before we assume that there's not necessarily been thoughtfulness or intention or good stewardship there, that we take a moment for ourselves to kind of approach it with some grace. So when you do approach that, I think, again, like we said earlier, making sure that we're having that conversation, not just about sports, but then helping us to point to the value eternally of what we're prioritizing, and for parents to be reminded that the priorities that they set are often the priorities we see young people have as they grow up. Hey, sports is important now. It can be. But the modeling that you have about values around faith are the ones that are often what your young people are going to mimic in young adulthood. And if it's not important now, it's often not going to be important to them later in their lives.
Yeah. And I think of it like just a case in point of like, and maybe simplifying it for parents too, that, if I'm going to understand this young person in my church is maybe not going to make the youth ministry activities, to still say, hey, what can we do to make sure they're at least in worship as often as possible? Like, prioritize that. Are they really active in something on Sunday mornings? Or if you got like maybe a Saturday night service or other times, and how do you prioritize that time in word and sacrament and community that way? And like just, and not add additional guilt necessarily or pressure on other things, and just say like, let's make sure that's a priority. Or like you said, if you really are traveling, how do you utilize maybe online worship or find another church to go to be able to do that? Because I think if that conversation's happening in a family about we are going to prioritize around this weekend that we're there for church, that does, obviously, we've seen statistically, just common sense, is going to be one of these foundational things for a young person to where, like, I think of it in my case, you know, I might have been traveling, had a Saturday night game far away, but I knew, regardless, I don't care what time I got home in the middle of the night, Sunday night from the trip, I was going to be up and go to church the next morning. Now, mom and dad would be fine with me taking a nap all Sunday afternoon because I was exhausted, but I was going to be up for church. And so like prioritizing those things for a young person is very important already at that age. I also think one other interesting thing that is a conversation with a parent that this maybe can be brought into the youth ministry side, but is another maybe interesting connection that you could make, is to hear from parents, especially maybe those who are highly involved in like a travel team or one sport, is that think of the relationships they build with other parents through that process. And then to hear from parents when like their kids age out and they all of a sudden have weekends free. but they also lose those relationships, which is hard. You know, those families get really tight over that. And so how can you, A, be prepping families for that, parents for that, but then also make sure that the church is this place too, where like, hey, maybe you got some time, you want to meet some people, love to have you be a part of this small group or be a part of this worship time or Bible study, whatever it may be, to be thinking of those parents who may all of a sudden their kid now is 18, sports are done, maybe they're not, you know, going to be traveling a lot to their college games and things like that, to say, hey, we got some time. We don't want to miss this opportunity to build those relationships there. And sometimes it's even like an identity thing for the parents a little bit, to where we're not sports mom and dad anymore. What do we do?
It's how they connect with their kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so like there's some mourning there, I think, that sometimes can happen for parents when like that disconnection happens. So be able to be there to care for them, to understand that and make sure that the church is a welcoming place for them.
Well, and this is ultimately, I think, partly why we wanted to have this conversation on the podcast, is because sometimes it can look like a very simple sports versus youth ministry kind of setup. But the reality is there are so many questions here around identity and how we help our young people to form their identity resiliently around their baptismal faith. And some there's questions here about stewardship and time management that are not just exclusive to young people, but Twitter circles for Fan Lasers questions here of community and where are you going to build your community of value and success. I mean, there's so many big questions that are all tied into this that can all impact not just the way that parents are choosing to spend any given Sunday morning or Wednesday afternoon or whatever, but are really big questions that youth ministry and youth ministry leaders need to be wrestling with parents on. Mm-hmm. We're hoping this series is going to help us to raise up concerns both about youth sports and about how youth ministry helpfully manages the way that youth spend their time. Maybe to start some conversations about the right balance of challenge and grace when it comes to how we approach our families, and really helping to have this conversation about how do we take away maybe the Rocky music and the boxing gloves when it comes to this topic, and really be able to care well for our young people in a way that helps them to be disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Mm-hmm. So a few closing questions for you to consider. How can you open a conversation with parents and teens about balancing and prioritizing their time?
What is your best 2-3 zone beater? Just kidding. Just kidding. Just looking for some coaching tips. No, how can your youth ministry equip parents and young people who are involved in sports to continue to practice their faith?
And finally, how can you make time to support youth in their vocations on and off the field? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you parent, as you coach, as you work in youth ministry to care well for the young people of your church and community.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find links mentioned in the episode or more about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youthministry and find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.